Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone? I mean everyone. I didn't hear some of you. I need to hear from everyone. How are you? Okay. We're doing good then. I want you to stand to your feet. This song talks about shouting the name of the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus. Well, I know the song says Yahweh. It's just fine. His name is Jesus. So let's practice this song. Let's shout his name.
Yahweh.
You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. How many of you have shouted at a basketball game louder than that? Especially when your team won. Now let's outdo that one more time. Come on. Give it to Jesus. Give it to him. He's worthy of all. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. No, stand back up. Stand back up. Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. Now you can be seated. Amen. 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 I need to tell a couple of people. I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, Haven. Glad you're here. All right. Are you ready for the Word of God? Well, welcome one of our own, Reverend Mike Duncan.
Yeah. I made a little comment the other day, and I didn't know my audience. I think it went over their head or they just didn't know, but I said, I feel like Minnie Pearl. Just glad to be here. Some of you know, some of you don't. That's okay. Whew. What anointed sessions we've already had right now. Presence of God that's moved, the songs, everything, the Sunday school. Everything in the what?
Prayer.
Yes. Well, that's probably what started all of this. It really is. I thought we was gonna have a video about the veterans or something. Was that what? That was last week. Okay. All right, honey, can you give me my water? It's right there by the thing.
Well, Randy. Here I am. Found myself. So, in his defense, you were in kids' church, weren't you?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, he wasn't up here last week. He's down there. So, just say, aw.
Yeah, but no, it's okay.
He's doing good. But right. I would like to say, I know this is Veterans Day was yesterday, but if you're a veteran and you were not here last Sunday, maybe because you didn't think we'd do that day, but we are going to do it again for you. So if you're a veteran and you weren't here last year, I want you to just stand to your feet. Back here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your service. God bless you.
Yes. We want to make sure, because we had a breakfast yesterday, and it was honoring the veterans, so I thought we was kind of moving in that direction as well. I said, well, Lord, you laid this above reproach message on me, and, you know, our soldiers, our veterans, I can't say they're all above reproach. We all need to strive to that. I think Pastor John, he was all over what the Lord's laying down. I talked to Pastor Terry this morning. I was like, I just love to hear it. You know, the words and the same, almost some of the same scriptures, but when you hear a brother, you hear it in the body. You know, the thing that God's saying, you know that you're in the vein. You're in his veins and he's in your veins. Does that make sense? So it's confirmation. He said he will confirm his word. He will affirm the things you hear. If you're hearing stuff and you're not hearing in the body, you better just back up and be quiet or something. Because we want to be above reproach. The soldiers, they are men of valor. And they do things for the protections of others. So that's who the Lord is, and that's part of the branches. How many know there's many avenues, but there's only one way? There's a lot of directions that this message can go, but there's only one way. It's Yahweh. It fit pretty good, didn't it? But also, the music and the songs, there's one thing that Paul talks about over there with Timothy. He said, here's a trustworthy saying. He said, the Lord is faithful, even when we are not. For he cannot deny himself. That's where we are. And this reproach also means like blameless. And we're asked to be that way. And apeliotos is the Greek word for that. And you're going to hear that a lot in there. And we want to make sure. I mean, it's a big word there. But look what it says right quick when we get started. It says, not apprehended, and that it cannot be laid hold of. Number two, that cannot be reprehended, not open to censor or irreproachable. So when you say that, what is the first part of it? There's a thing about the highway of righteousness that God puts us on, and that the evil one, it cannot get on it. It can't comprehend. It cannot be laid hold of. So why do we struggle? Why do we keep falling off? Going back. What are these things that happen? I got three things that I think that could help us obtain this anapeliotos, which is to live a life above reproach. One is our effort. And the Lord has really been working with me. Last Sunday, he really just laid a lot on me, and I was back down in the pastures. You know where the fall festival was, and I was just sitting there just looking, you know, and I was over by the deer stand, but I wasn't in the deer stand because I really, you know, I don't have time to really get in there and hunt, and right now I can't get the gun out because it's really technically not gun season, which, you know, well, it's yours to go ahead and do what you do, you know, but anyway, who's going to know? Whoa, there you go. Who's going to know? You know, so that's the thing, and that's where we get our effort and our checks that we have. I tell a lot of people now, and I know Pastor Terry talks about now since we come, we said we were sinners, right? Saved by grace. Now he's put us in his righteousness. You know, he calls us. That's who we are. We call it his children. So now we have to choose to sin. We have to choose to disobey things. And I like to tell people it's this, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when you have that encounter with the Holy Spirit, he comes in you, it's almost like he's a Billy now. And Billy's got a job now that he likes to hold a stop sign. He hit me up the other day. He sent me a picture. He said, "You been running any stop signs lately?" He had a picture, a little selfie. Him standing there with a stop sign. Because we've talked about it before, about now the Holy Spirit is like the man or person standing with you. He empowers you to do things. But he also keeps you from doing things. He'll put up a stop sign. And now, before you can really go any further in a wrong direction, you will have to run a stop sign. It's the truth. But the key of that is when we choose to do that, sometimes we get away with it. Sometimes we make it on through without an accident. Sometimes we make it on through without a ticket. Lawman, where's the law at? Well, see, he said the law. Yeah, well, there's a type of law here. There's also the type of law that what he says is only used, but Paul says the law now is only used to what? For the sinners. It's for those who's not operating in the Spirit. For those who are in the Spirit, there's no law. It's written in our heart. That's what he's talking about. That stop sign's there. We don't need to go. It's just who we start becoming. And with our right choices, we start building up in that, in our faith. That's what that looks like. So one of the things I said was our effort. Our effort means a lot. And as I was saying, I was down there, I was looking around the pastures, and they look really good right now. The Fall Festival helps me. That's why the wife, she always says, "I like to entertain because I get things done." Look, if I can't be transparent right here, my goodness. It was like, I mean, we already had people there Saturday. We had a little friends give a couple people over, several. She wanted some beams made and put in the den living room area. So I was kind of working all week and found some boards, find the right boards. They came off the property. We milled them down, and I worked and sanded them and got them all ready and had them slicked up and stained them and then built the boxes for the beams. And it was like, you know what day that was when I was doing the boxes and staining and doing finishing that up? It was on Saturday, about 3 hours before people were supposed to come. Time I finished, it was about 15 minutes before people were supposed to be there. And I got them in and had some people who was already showed up a little early, praise God, and they helped me get the beams up, and I knocked, put them in. But the whole room smelled like stain. That lets me go to this, I don't want to jump ahead, but it's all in here anyway. There's a lot of directions, again, that we could go with this, but that lets me go to just go ahead, you guys, the media, praise God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Let's start right there. If you got your Bibles, praise God. If you don't, I recommend you get one. I know the phone works a lot, but there's a lot of different directions on that phone you can go. So be careful. You might run a stop sign or two when you break that phone out. It is what it is. So 1 Corinthians 3:11, let's look, and Paul's talking to him right now. He says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Let's go to the next one. He said, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood or hay or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort of work it is." Go to the next one. If anyone's work which has... Why'd you enlarge that for me? You think I got reading glasses, not nearsighted glasses. Anyway, I can read that. That's good. I appreciate you. It's all good. "If anyone's work which has been built on it endures..." Look, it's real little up here. I appreciate this. Hey, There we go. Does that help y'all? What say? The Spirit's in me for me, and it's on me for you. And I pray he just keeps marinating on me. All right, so if anyone's work which has been built and it endures, it will what? Receive a reward. Who wants that? We all want that, right? But also it says, but anyone's work which has been what? Burned, it will suffer a loss. And look what it says. But he will be saved, but as though through fire. Just like those beams, you can still smell the stain in the house. You'll smell like smoke. And that's the thing when we're tested. How are we going to get through that fire? See, that testing must come. That fire must come because that fire removes the junk. The proverb says that the fire, it does what? It removes, if you remove the dross from the silver, you have a vessel for the finer. And you want to make sure that you are a vessel that's for the Lord. How are you going to do that? You're going to put forth your effort. We're going to be that vessel. Somebody looks upon it and says, man, that's what I want. But it's more than that. It's more than that. We want to make sure that our effort is there. I was telling my boy the other day, a lot of this was going on. We went to the landfill. And we're coming back, and I was like, well, Josh, you know, the Lord's dealing with me about my effort. How about you? Do you feel like you put forth your effort, you know, that you should in what you're doing? Did you put forth good effort getting all that trash out of the back of the truck? You know, he was slinging some trash bags and things. But for me, I was like, you need to speed it up a little bit. But that's what we're here for. We want to encourage, really. Don't want to put him down, but I want to encourage him. I don't want to discourage him. But that's where we are with the Lord and things. We want to make sure that we put forth our best. And I ride down the road because I said, look at this part of Christ. You know what the Via Dolorosa is, Josh? You say, oh, yeah, I think so. It was the way of suffering. It's the way the Lord went to go to Golgotha, to go to the Mountain of Skulls, to go to Calvary, to go replenish and redeem us. I said, what if he did not pick that cross back up? What if he didn't put forth the effort that he had inside of him to complete the job? What if he didn't do that? What if he did get off the cross when the soldiers was telling him and the people were shouting, saying, well, if you be this, you be get yourself off of that. Did he get off? He stayed right there. He put forth all the effort in the universe to make sure he did the best that he could do. Because his love for us. Because his love for us. And so what we want to do is put our effort forth for our love for him. Now it gets kind of tricky in there because there's things that going on. Let's look at Genesis right quick. Can we go back to the beginning? We're talking about foundations. Let's go to Genesis 4 right fast. Put my glasses on. I've gotten to the age. I used to, you know, it wasn't long ago, maybe just a couple months ago. I was like, my goodness, I done hit 50 and I can still read everything pretty good. And now it's like, well, I might be able to read it, but can you really see it? Who needs some clarity in their life? Come on. Hallelujah for clarity. That's where that is. Genesis 4, did I say that? Sorry. Genesis 4, we can start 1 through 7, and we can put it up, Justin. And this is Cain and Abel. We don't have to read through it for time constraints. We want to make sure we get through what most of what I told her. So there's no way I'm going to get all this out, but I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight what's needed. Here we are with Cain and Abel. And look what happened here. I've acquired a man. We're in 4. One, let's go to, come on down, go to the next one. Yep. Cain and Abel. All right. Abel was what? The keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the land. Next verse. Process of time came. Look what it says. Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground that he's been working on. He brought an offering of his stuff. Now go ahead to the next one. To the Lord. Abel also brought what? Of the firstborn or the first fruit of his stock. And of their fat. He said he'll make the righteous fat, right? And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, what was the difference? We want to talk about that a little bit. But look, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next verse. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. And his count, I like to say he was salty. You know, Cain got a little salty. Which means in the Hebrew, hara. Which means to be hot, furious, to burn, become angry, to be kindled. And it goes on through, but there's one in the Hebrew, it says to heat oneself in vexation. He got so mad that he vexed himself. Now look, when that happened, what happened here? So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your counts falling? Now look, what here's the very important thing. When we don't put forth our effort, what happens here? What did the Lord tell him? He said, now, if you do well, will you not be accepted? What did it say in 1 Corinthians 3 over there? When the fire comes and the tests come, what? If it will be known of what it's built on. It will be known. Your effort will be known of. What you put in, what you've invested in, and where your heart is, it will be shown. It will be known. And if it passes through, it says you will be rewarded. Just what he said, it will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And it goes on in some translation. And what it says, and there it is, and it desires. It desires to have you. Now, where did Cain fall short? He just brought an offering because that's what he's supposed to do. Right? But what did Abel do? Abel brought the best. See, his heart. Abel's heart was where it was supposed to be. He put forth his effort. He put forth what he did to present. He had an understanding. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes too. Of what that was about. Of why he was giving what he had to the Lord. Their effort. So it looks like here. Let's look. So this explains why the Lord says in verse 7 why all this is. And look. And it's not always that we're really not got our heart in the right place. Sometimes our heart can be just exactly where we want it, we think we want it to be. But then we get so busy, or we get so many things going at one time, it makes it impossible to put forth all our effort in what we're supposed to be doing. But is that an excuse? The Lord told me one time it was crazy. I hadn't even really grown my first garden by myself. I had a couple tomato plants that somebody gave me. And I just throwed them out on a tree line. Just put them out where I could. And the reason I did it because I had a water spigot was right there close by. It was quaint. I could water my tomato plants and it wouldn't ask too much of me. Well, quick and easy. Getting out of the car, water tomato plants, going in the house. Boom. But guess what happened to my tomato plants? They didn't prosper. They started getting up finally, months later. and one tomato plant. There was like four of them. One tomato plant had one little tomato come up on it. I'm like, all right, here we go. Progress. And I tell you, it wasn't just a couple of days later, that thing started turning, but it wasn't red. It started deteriorating. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on here? And here's a word. He said, you cannot take care of a garden that you can't manage. I hope it is, because it come from good. It come from him. And that's exactly what I said. Ooh, that's good. But you know, when we hear those words, we really don't want to say, oh, that's good, Lord. Yeah, give me some more of that. But that's constructive criticism, I guess. But it's a word. It's for us. It's for our benefit, is it not? It's for us to get understanding. So I was like, okay. So that looks like everything else. If I got so much going on in my life, how can I take care of what I'm supposed to take care of? And I'm not just saying take care of something. Can I get a job done real quick, whatever it is? Yeah. But was it to my best effort? Was it above reproach? Was it blameless? I put this shirt on. Look, see that? That's a white shirt. And I had it. It was laying in my closet. And I had to take the pins out of it and everything this morning. And it wasn't. It was not an apilitos. It was not without wrinkle. So I put it in the dryer. We'll get them wrinkles out. Again, what's in the dryer? A little heat. Put a little heat on it, get them wrinkles out. I took one of the stickers off of it and it hit me. You know what one of the stickers said? It said, long lasting white. I said, whoa. Can man actually make it last a little longer being white without spot or blemish? Nah. As I told Pastor Jerry this morning, I come out and said, well, it looks nice and clean without spot or blemish. That's why I put this vest on. I don't know if I got any dribbles in there or not from coffee this morning. But that's on the outside as well. The Lord's looking for what's on the inside. And if we want this happiness, if we want this joy, if we really want to be the people who we have called to be, that's where we got to start looking. That's where we got to start digging. We really have to be honest and true. What did it say over in, you don't have to go there, but John 4, that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in and in truth. If I'm not truthful with myself and the convictions and the things going on, how am I going to be truthful with the Lord? How am I going to be truthful with my wife? How am I going to be truthful with my children? How am I going to be truthful with things that entrusted with me, businesses, work, doing things, if I'm not truthful? As I looked across the pasture, I was like, Lord, you entrusted me with all this. But I come to realize that I have so much going on that I can't take care of my property like I should. Am I taking care of my wife like I should? Am I taking care of my children like I should? It's a self-check time. It really is. Of what's going on in this world right now, we really got to understand where we are and what's coming. Are we prepared for what's about to come to us? Are we without spot or blemish? Are we anapetilitos, whatever that word, spill it out. I'm not Greek, but I like to get in there with it. Are we really ready? Because it's growing gross out there. And we're being checked with our steps and our walks and what we do. When we get so busy, we don't have to go there either. But look about Moses over there in Genesis 18. Well, Jethro, or Exodus 18, I think is what it is. But anyway, Genesis. Jethro and Moses. Y'all know about Jethro? Not Bodine. That's in there with Minnie Pearl. That's that Gen X and before, isn't it? Maybe a little after, I don't know. But Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. And he came to visit him. And he had a word of wisdom for him. Because he seen that Moses was judging all the issues and things carrying on with the people. And they were bringing it all to him. And it was like lasting like all day. He's standing there going over these things. And he comes up. He said, Moses, come here for a minute, son. I'm going to give you a little advice. If you keep this up, you're going to get burned out. Or you're going to be wore out. You cannot keep doing all these things. Your heart is in the right place, and I see, but what you have to learn to do is find other trustworthy people. You're going to have to find a body of like-minded people and be able to delegate and put them in place and trust that the Lord can use them in the same capacity that He's using you. And that you take the bigger stuff and let them get their feet wet with the smaller stuff and just oversee the things. Because you can't keep going in this way, because here's the thing again, all this stuff's coming, I'm doing everything I can, and I'm really meaning to do the right things, and my effort is there, but it's not all the effort, it's not where I need to be. And it keeps me from becoming the man that I need to be, the child that I need to be of God, the reflection of the Lord. It's integrity, man. Here's the word. You know what the name means? To be in the name of the Lord? It's not just what, okay, in Jesus' name, amen. The name of the Lord means the character. It means character. We want to be in the character of the Lord. That's the likeness. Character. So when we get so stressed out like it was with Moses, we need to take some advice. And what that leads to, what does that say? It leads to where it says that in the counsel of many, there is safety. So if we don't protect ourselves and we don't release ourselves to the counsel of our brothers and our sisters, if we don't look out for help, for sound wisdom, guess what we're going to end up doing? We're going to drop the ball. We're going to run off in the wrong direction, because there's many directions, but there's only one way. Remember that? Are we in the right direction? Are we going the right way? Are we in His way? So it's a self-reflection. But it's also trusting the body. Because this is not a one-man show. It's one man's show. But it's not a one-man show. It's His show. So what does that look like, right quick? All right. If we do that, here we are. Let's go to Luke 7. Here it is. We're not going to get into that part, but let's go to Luke 7, verse 33-35. So we know if we got too many fires going, we're not living up to the effort. We're not doing. We can't do what we're supposed to do for the Lord. We got too much going on. We can't concentrate. And can we excel in that thing that we're supposed to be excelling? So that's part of making our election and our calling sure as well. Look, so this come to me the other week at the wake of my brother Antony. And I kind of joked around Pastor Terry about it. I said, well, I'm probably going to go back over there to Luke 7. But I'm not going to be over there with the dancing part. They played a tune and I danced a jig. I want to make sure I can dance when I hear the flute, though. But we're not going to get that part. But look what it says. This is where I wanted to get out there. But it says, for the John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. You say he had a demon. Now the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say he, look, he's a glutton and a wine bibber. And a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now here's the other thing. We can get so spread out that we can't do the best we can, our abilities. So we also can hear what? The naysayers. We're listening to the wrong voice. We talked about hearing his voice in the song. So we hear that. So who was Jesus? Who was John the Baptist? Were they this? Did he have a demon? What was the spirit that he was working in? So where we are with Christ, people are going to say what they're going to say. But if I'm above reproach, what's going to happen to those words? And if I hear those words, what are those words like? It's a test. It's part of the fire. Is there evidence? You know? Am I going to hear that voice? Or am I going to take those things? But guess what? Just like what it says in Acts, when I think it's Acts 4 or 5, right into 4, where Peter and John, they're told not to speak, you know, and they get in prison, they beat them. And they'd come up, and then Gamaliel, I think that's his name, Gamaliel, he comes up to them, to the judges and say, hey, remember so-and-so? A few years ago, they come through here doing these things, and we thought they was from God, but yet they went away. He said, if these boys are from God, then guess what? You'll find yourself fighting against God. But if they're not of God, they're going to fade away. So it's the same thing for us. If these people are going to bring us, listen, the enemy, you know what his name is? Accuser. So he's going to have accusations for you. There's going to be things that they're going to try to get to you because they don't like what you're doing, because you're disrupting their little world. But here we are to bring the kingdom to them. So that's why we must live this life above reproach, because if they do bring accusation, it's going to go by the wayside. It's not real. There's a movie, old Roadhouse. Y'all know that movie? Okay, be careful. You tell on yourself. Anyway, old Patrick Swayze, when he takes over to being the bouncer, he said, we don't want fight in the house, in the bar. You take it outside. You take it outside. And one of the boys jumped up, well, what if he says something about my mama, blah, blah, blah. Is she? You know if there's credit to what people's going to say about you. You know who you are, don't you? You better. You better. What did Jesus tell the sons of thunder when they go, we're going to rain down fire? You don't know what manner of spirit you are. I need to know who I am. And that comes in that identity. Look what it says. We still got that up there? Yep, right there. There you go. The verse 35. That's my power punch right there. Do you know who you are? What does it say right here? Wisdom is justified by some of her children. All of her children. So, hello. Why are we all here gathered together? Come on. Am I here to help you? Yeah. I'm a shoulder for you to lean on. You a shoulder for me to lean on. I don't have this thing worked out yet. Well, hey, I'm not yet. Well, Paul said, I've not yet achieved this thing, but I'm going to press toward it. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to do what it takes. I know who my Lord is. I know who I am. You know the name of wisdom is Sophia? That's why they call it her. She
Sophia. Wisdom. She will be known. What does that look like? What did Jesus say? You will know a tree by what? By the fruits that it bears. Listen, you know who you are by the things that you do. You know what you're doing in the dark places of your life when nobody's around. What are you doing? And if you get checked, what are you going to do? Believe me, I've been through it, my goodness, since August, July. And I didn't even know, that this was coming. But the thing I was going through, I knew right here where it's at. Look, there's things that I've done, and there's jobs that I've done, and a man didn't like what I had to do. So guess what? I give him back his money and walk off the job and say, bless you, thank you, go. You got to do what you're supposed to do. Again, if you find yourself fighting against something that you're not supposed to be fighting about, whose name is it? Listen, if you've messed up, I told somebody else, I said, you know what my daddy used to make me do before I took my beatings? Go over and assume the position across that couch. I go over there, and that's what I did. We went over there, and mainly me. I had the brother and the sister, but it was usually me over there on that whipping chair. Y'all know what a hard head makes. Woo. But I would go over there and assume the position. I wouldn't go running, crying, screaming, because that's not going to do good. Don't make me come after you. I went over there and leaned over that couch. Whew. And that right there about hurt more than anything. But I knew I was guilty. Go ahead and do it, Daddy. Whew. Told it a lot of directions. I didn't know this was coming. What did David tell him? Search me, O God. Search me. Test me. Know my ways. See if there's not any any unpleasing thing inside of me. I want to be above reproach. If I'm wrong, I'm going to humble myself and take what I got to take. Because why would you want to keep building on something that you know is not true? Because in the end of it, what's it going to do? It's not your name. You might think you're in your name, but you're in His name. There's a lot of stuff. Listen, I've seen a lot of anointed pastors, ministers that God's birthed a lot of enormous ministries through. And I've seen them fall. Because we run a red light. And we keep going. We try to cover it up. We don't go over there and assume the position on the couch. Say, Daddy, go ahead. I'm wrong. You're right. Sometimes it's not about Him calling you out to tell you there's something wrong. You want to say, hey, I'm coming to You and I'm going to confess these things to You, Lord God. I don't want to do it. Why? See, that's in that effort. It wasn't like hitting the floor, was it, Bruno? See, I made it now with I could just roll them. Keep rolling them. Well, we don't have time to get through all of this. But here, the second thing is when we don't do it, it's the unity. The second part of a tool is the effort, it's our unity. And the third thing, because time constraints, I'll go ahead and throw it out there, would be intimacy. Those three things are what's going to get you to living this life above reproach. If we keep those things in our life and understand where we're at, that's what's going to get us there. Now, that unity is what we need each other for, right? If we come in unity, together, like-minded, what happened in the upper room when they all, hey, woo, they got them tingles, didn't they? Yeah, we want them tingling. We want to go with that. Oh, that's shaking and tingling. We want all this stuff. We want to run, hoop, holler, and all. Woohoo. But they're all in one accord. They're all in unity. When the fire fell. See, that was a good fire, wasn't it? Started burning off that chaff. Started burning off that dross. To get us where we need to be. So look at unity. We have to be one for all and all for one, if we will, with the three musketeers. We use our body and lean on the authority and the guidance of others who God's put around us. And especially, we lean on the understanding of the Lord. What's it in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? We know that verse, don't we? We always know that. What? What does it say? Trust. Go ahead. With all your heart. Lean not on your what? Own understanding. And then acknowledge him in what? Just some of your ways, all your ways. And then he will do what? Direct your paths. So we're acknowledging him in all our ways. And that's part of that approach. That's part of that effort if we do that. But that's part of that unifying. Paul says over there, in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We all have our individuality. We all have our own uniqueness, but we are of the same body. I need the parts that you have that I don't. You need the parts that I have that you don't. And it's not thinking so highly of oneself, but it's knowing your assurance. It's knowing your identity. It's knowing your lane. And I need you in your lane to help carry us all. All right. Jesus also said over there, what, in John 17, he was praying. And he says, let them be one in me. As I am in you, you in me. What's the last part? It says, and then it says what? That they may be one in us. That oneness, that unity. See, there's also this thing that it says over there in Romans 12, 1. We always like to run there. 1 and 2, Pastor Terry had been hitting on it. It says, what's 1 say? I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, what? That you present yourself. Come on. As a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service. That verse says service. But it also says your reasonable service of worship. Of worship. It's not about being up here. My goodness, isn't that nice? What, that was good. But our worship don't stop right here with a microphone and a keyboard. Our worship is exactly in what our steps do, what we decide, our choices, that wisdom. Sophia is for what? The children. What is justified? Wisdom by their what? By their children. That means the how you act is your worship. The choices. Wisdom is for your choices. It gives you the power to choose the right thing is what the Lord told Moses to choose you this day. See, Cain had a choice. You have a choice. What are you going to choose? You want to choose life? You're going to choose to go over there and say, if I've done wrong, here we are. I've done you wrong. I'm in a bad place. Go ahead and give me my stripings, my whippings, whatever. Why is that so important? Why is it so important? The next verse over there in John 17, where he's talking about there will be one, it says that so that the world may believe you sent me. Why is it important for us to live this way and make these choices so that we let the world know that Jesus Christ is real? And he says, hey, I'm going away, but I'm going to send back the Spirit of Truth. And he's going to be what? With you and in you forever. Listen to him. For it comes from us. I'm sending him back. So the Holy Spirit comes in us. Then what? We have the power to overcome. We have the power to make the right choice. Here comes wisdom. Here comes understanding. Here comes the knowledge. Knowing who he is. Knowing that he's real. And if he's real in you, he's going to be real through you. Above reproach. All right. I'm not doing that. But I do want to do Philippians right quick, too. 14 and 15. Now, when we see our brothers and sisters all that, man, I will say something about James. He said, how can you bless the Lord and curse your brother? So when we're looking around and we got our brothers and sisters, well, you know, they kind of, we want to judge them. I'm not going to be transparent with them because they might think this and they might think that. Well, what are you thinking? So we end up complaining and we end up arguing. Philippians 2:14 says, so whatever you shall do, you put that up there right fast, we're going to have to close. It says what? Do all things. Complaining, disputing, grumbling. Look, this verse right here is so beautiful to me. It's always been. I used to have a little bracelet with that 2:14 on it, but when I read that 15 to give me that context of why we don't want to do the complaining and arguing. Why don't I want to argue and complain? Why not? Man, it's my fringe benefits, I used to say. I don't get any benefits for this job, but I tell you right now, that's my fringe benefit. I can talk how I want to about it. I can grumble and complain the whole time I'm digging this hole. Where's the joy in that? Don't let somebody slip up behind you in the middle of it. Well, Brother Duncan, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, can't you tell? What's that 15 say? It's beautiful, man. It really is. It says that you may become blameless. There's that word again. And harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and what? Where you at right now? Come on. And it's going to get worse. So that you may do what? That you may shine. Like lights in the world. What did Jesus say? Then that you are the city on the hill. Are you shining? This generation, these things that's going on right now. It's not that we're going to have to go out there and just start beating people up. You know? I can't believe you'd wear such a thing. Look. I went to go get some dog food the other day. And I didn't know they done moved. It used to be it's a drive-thru. It used to be a drive-thru. Now they moved back inside. I had to get out. I was like, man, I ain't got time to get out and go in. Went out. I said, y'all don't have drive-thru? No, we don't have drive-thru. Then I looked around this young, she was a beautiful little girl. She was tatted up, head to toe. She had so many holes in there, I said, she must be able to breathe just fine. But that's who she was. You know what I mean? That's who she was. Old religious spirit tried to come up. That gone, girl. Get some of that stuff off you. Walk around looking like that. Well, y'all ain't never heard that before? Back in my day when I had a hole in my britches, which that's back in style now. Get back in there and put some clothes on. You ain't walking around. People think we ain't got money for clothes. That's how it used to be when you had holes in your britches. I used to hate Mama get a hold of my britches, boy. She had patches on there. I said, well, could you at least just put the patch on the inside of the tear so it still looks cool? What sense that make? It might not make sense to us, you know, but it's not up to me to tell somebody else how to act and how to do. In that verse over there, it didn't say you be out there with a tongue and be able to curse them and to be able to tell them they ain't doing right. It says that you will do what? That you will shine. You won't have to say a word. Because that's not your job. It's your job, just what it says in Romans 12, where we're getting to be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by renewing of the mind that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect unto God. And some people don't want to go to verse 3, but I'm going to go there because it's 12 o'clock, and it says, what? Don't think too highly of yourself as one ought to, but think you soberly that you, hey, because he's given each man a measure of faith. And if you were in this place over here and you think you're above us over here, I'm going to tell you right now, he said it isn't a man. He said that the children, wisdom will be justified by all her children. Not by people who think they've grown and have achieved it yet. It's not that we live a life in I woke up this morning and I was like, my goodness, what did I tell Pastor Terry this thing? I said, did I tell him above approach or reproach? I said, I swear I told him approach. I know he didn't put approach because, my goodness, if I'm not approachable, you can't get to me, if I can't get to God, what good is it? It says to be above reproach, which means what Jesus said. The prince of this world is coming, but he has no part in me. Intimacy is the key to all of that. Can we close, Charlie, with and I'd love to, if we could get that song right quick. That we were, what was the last song y'all was singing? No, let me do the one that Naomi was on. Yeah, there it is. Surrender. Yeah, can we get that right quick as we close? You willing? Please? Can you put forth your best effort for me? But she's my sister, though. We've been through the fire together. She's seen some good stuff out of me one time. But you know what I had to do? I had to humbly come to her and ask for forgiveness. And say, I didn't act right. I wasn't in the right place right there, and I admit it. And that's not who I'm supposed to be. But this intimacy is the key of all of it. We will not have any transformation without an encounter with the Lord. See, that's what repentance is. It says that you change the way you think because of an encounter. If we don't encounter, we won't know the standard. We won't know what we're supposed to do. We won't know who the truth is. We won't know who wisdom is. You know what I mean? We won't know what we're supposed to do. We won't know who we are. We have to encounter Him. Y'all go ahead as soon as you're ready. I think this is beautiful. I think this was a beautiful song. I know it's 12 o'clock. But as we go forward right here, this is a calling that I do believe that the Lord wants for all of us to check it and to move forward, to get it out of us, to surrender to things that's not of the Lord, to surrender to things that we think that, hey, I might be lazy in some things, but Lord God, take that slothfulness from me. Let me do and put forth. Let me have that joy. Look, when it says that that woman come with that alabaster jar, she laid down at His feet and she wept and she cried upon the Lord because she had an encounter with Him and she was never the same again. She gave up her livelihood. She gave up everything that she thought that was wrong. Whatever He contended, it was on her. She gave it to the Lord. She gave it to the Lord. This is what it's about today. Because in this perverse and twisted generation of the world and things that's trying to invade, the Lord said, pray this prayer. Let Your kingdom come and Your will be done in earth. In earth. Let it be. Listen, it's honest. Let's be in truth this morning. If there's something that you got to work out, give it up. What would you want to have? Let that intimacy overcome you and you come back to Him and you know. Let me tell you, Jesus told them, it's the sick that needs the doctor. If you think you got it, you're not going to make it. We're all in this together. Father, thank You for Your love and life. Thank You for Your goodness. Lord, You're not here to whoop us. You're here to take it and encourage us to go on. You're here to love on us, to let us know that there is hope. And as You're here and You won't forsake us, You won't deny Yourself in us, Lord. You're going to put us where we're supposed to be. You said, "You, I will be where You are." Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Apostle Paul said at the end of his journey that he was winding down. He said, I fought the good fight. I've been poured out like a drink offering. This is the good fight, y'all. This is what fighting looks like. It's not with words and a gun and for territory. It's about this kingdom that's trying to grow inside of you, that will grow inside of you if you just stay connected and abide. Fight the good fight. It's time. This world is looking for that light. They're looking for that hope. They're looking for that joy. And I'm telling you, when the Lord's working in you, there's going to be joy there. It will be. Y'all are loved so much. And a lot of times we don't know how much that love is, but when we encounter the Spirit of God, it starts revealing to us. I can't help but just weep at his feet too. Take my livelihood, Lord. Whatever I think I need, I don't need it. I need you. There's only one thing that's needed, and it will not be taken away from you. Him. Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you today, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Whatever you want me to do, Lord God, show me. I'm yours. And that's all I want to do is lay at your feet, Lord. Let that be my yearning, my desire. Because out of that is when you can move. Out of that is where you can shine, Lord. I speak blessings over this house, this body. I speak unity over it, Lord God, tonight. That whatever differences, whatever things in between us, Lord God, whatever in between us two together as far as the body and ourselves together, we just tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. We want everything. We want your forgiveness, Lord God. Whatever it is, I ask you just work in their minds and their hearts, every one of us. Whatever it is, rise it up in us, Lord, so we can get shed of it, Lord. So we can ask for forgiveness for it. Let's look for particular specifics, Lord. We want to be righteous. We want to be above reproach, Lord God. Because any accusations that's coming, it won't have substance. Let us go in your name, Lord, in your character. Amen.
Excuse me. Before you leave, if I can just hold you 1 minute. We have a wonderful opportunity to bless this community with food on Thanksgiving Day, but we need an offering to be able to do that. And also, they'll feed about 600 people on Thanksgiving Day, and then we'll buy food boxes. We'll buy around 200, maybe 300. And that will feed another 600 to 700 people. But if you don't mind, just bring your offering, put it here. And I need somebody to take this lily. She's got that one. Okay. But whoever wants this lily, the Logan family and William and Doug and them have brought that from their loss of their brother. But they want somebody to love on it and take care of it. Okay, so whoever wants that can come and get it. But we really, now if you want to give through the app, you can do that as well. But we really need to take up an offering to help the hungry that is in the community. God bless you. You may go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.